8 billion people. That's what we have of people alive today. Humanity has reached 8 billion people. There has never been a population so high as it is today. When you hear that, what do you think? 8 billion people. The best statistics show that 2 to 2.4 billion people know the Lord, Christians. And what about the other 5.6 to 6 billion people who do not know the Lord? What does that bring to your mind? When you stop and think about 8 billion people, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? That's a lot of people, isn't it? Maybe you stop and think, there's a lot of farmers here. Maybe you stop and think about food. How are we going to supply food for 8 billion people? I was looking at statistics. I was born in 81. Back there was a population of about 4 billion people. Like in 42 years, it doubled. That's kind of scary when you stop and think about it. Like, how did the population just double in 40-some years? Now we're producing twice as much food. Where are all these people living? Maybe like sickness. We just came through pandemic. Like, we saw how sickness can shut down and close things. Liberties that we thought we had were just suddenly taken away. In Brazil, we had lockdowns where to go into a city, you had to stop. They would come and take your temperatures. If you had the fever, like, you aren't going in. So, like, what could we think about wealth? How is wealth being divided through 8 billion people? Is it equally distributed? Or is there like people way up high that hold everything and like just give the rest of the people enough to survive? It's kind of scary when we think about that because it's a lot of people. But what else can we think as a church about these people that do not know the Lord? I ask you, what's more important? The life of somebody in Africa, in Asia, in Europe, in Brazil? For God, which lives are more important? Are there differences? Or aren't there any differences? God loves each one of us equally. Like, He has a perfect plan to our lives. And many times we think, well, we're missionaries, we're down in Brazil. People think, okay, the missionaries, they'll take care of that. Like, they'll take the word out to everybody, or the pastor, like, it's the pastor's job. What does he do? Like, that's his job, like, tell everybody about Christ. But Christ left us here for a reason. What reason was that? To fulfill what? The Great Commission. And many times we think, is that for us? And we think, did God really think this through? Does God really know that there's 8 billion people here? Or if we read in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, 38, before he went back up to heaven, he said, "Then saith unto the disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous." There's the harvest is big. And we stop and think about 6 billion people. Is that enough people for us to share the gospel to? I think it's more than enough. Like, if we're only 2 million people, like, that's almost 3 people for each one of us. So yes, there is, but the laborers are few. Many times we live and we have contact with people that do not know the Lord, but have we been sharing the gospel with them? Many times we come up with excuses like, okay, you don't know what circumstances I am like. If I tell my neighbor about Jesus, he's not going to talk with me anymore, and like, he'll think I'm a religious person. Like, at work, I can't talk about religion. And yeah, there's a lot of places you cannot do that. But the Lord can guide us to be a testimony to those people, can't He? Or do we have to act exactly like everybody else? No, we can be a testimony without even opening our mouths a lot of times. The way we react, the way we serve, the way we obey. God has put each one of us in exact place. He knew exactly where He was putting us, and He knew the people that would be around us, and He gave us the task to reach these people. But is it easy to reach these people? I think that any place in the world, it's not an easy task. Because as Pastor said, we have an enemy, like Satan's out there and he's there to frighten us and like to scare us. But if we read in the Bible and we read about God, he's Almighty God. Do we remember that all the time? Many times we're frightened, aren't we? Even though we know the Bible, we know that God is all-powerful. But when we see wars, we see the pandemic, we see so many things that come to tribulate our hearts and put fear into our hearts. And we start questioning a lot of times, what's really happening? Can I really trust God fully? And what does that do? A lot of times it brings questions to our minds. And it's interesting that these people that are lost, they're in darkness. In a dark room, what can you see? Nothing. It's interesting to see that one of the first things that God created was what? In Genesis 1, verse 3, he said, "And God said, let there be light." And what are we as Christians supposed to be? Light. Light and darkness. Is it easy to be different from everybody else? It is not easy. Because will people love you? No, people will not love you. A lot of times they'll turn their backs on you. And do we as human beings like that? No, we do not like that. We like to be well received. We like people to love us, to want us to be together with them. And a lot of times when we share the gospel, that will not happen. And it's hard, but it's a task that, who gave us that task? The Lord. The Lord has given us that task. Even though many times we fail to do His will in our life, but that's our task. And I know, even as a missionary, it's hard. Like, it's your function to be out there and share the gospel, but many times we kind of think, is this really supposed to be this way, Lord? We have to have what? To be able to do that. There's one thing we have to be able to share the gospel. First, we need to know the Lord, of course. If we're going to share the Lord, we need to know the Lord, but we have to have faith. And today, how is your faith? It's a question that many times we do not ask because we do not like the answer. In life, there's a lot of situations that there's always that question, but do we like to ask that question? A lot of times, like, no, like, it's okay. Don't ask about it. Like, well, we'll take care of it one day in life. But how's our faith today? And can I have faith for somebody else? Can I have faith for my wife? Or is it individual? It's interesting that faith is something that I can't have for my kids, for my wife. It's individual. Each one of us has to have faith by our own. And what are we setting our faith on? It's not just having faith, it's what are we setting our faith on? Are we setting our faith on ourselves? A lot of times that's what happens in our own lives. We trust ourselves, and we can easily see that with wealthy people. Like, they think, do they need God? They don't need God because they have everything. They can do anything. Like, if they need something, they go out and buy it. Or if not, people put their faith in their job. Like, yeah, I work here and they supply all my needs and everything, but one day it can be there and one day maybe it's gone. And what is the only thing that we can put our faith and be assured that He will always be there for us? And He will be there during the good times and the bad times, and He'll be there to strengthen us. That's God. It's interesting to stop and think, what is faith? Maybe a lot of us have a definition of what faith is, but in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Is that easy? It's trusting something that you have never seen. It's okay, you're going to share the gospel with somebody and they can ask you, have you seen God? Have you seen Jesus? What would be your answer? We work with kids and they come with questions like that. Okay, you're teaching me about God. Have you seen God? No. Have you seen Jesus? No. Oh, how do you know He's true? How do you know it's just not a big lie they put together? And many times we get lost because we're away from God. We really don't know. It's a tradition. In Brazil, it's very easy because in Brazil, if you're born a Brazilian, you're Catholic, and that's normal. And a lot of us were born in Christian homes, and it's the faith of our parents or our grandparents. We come to church because it's tradition. Many times our faith is diminished, it's not where it should be, not the relationship with God, our personal relationship. And when hard times come, what's going to define if we're going to be with the Lord or not? Will be our faith. We see the disciples, they were with Jesus, they knew Jesus inside out. But when Jesus was taken, what happened? Yeah, we can see it can change quite fast. And a lot of times, not the way we want to. And how do we come to faith? It's interesting to see how the Bible has been taken out of so many places. Why do you think that happens? Why do you think people don't let the Bible be read in schools and public places, large places? Now there's in Brazil there's signs you cannot do this or that here. Or preach the gospel, basically. Why do you think that happens? You think Satan doesn't know how faith comes? How does faith come? In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, we can read, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing what? The word of God. So you ask, why is the word of God being taken out of the schools? You think Satan wants people hearing about the Word of God? He does not want that because he knows that once people hear the Word of God, they'll have faith and put their faith in Jesus Christ. And that's why, even technology, when we heard about cell phones, oh yeah, you have more time to do the things you love. But a lot of times we're tied on to this and looking in social media and everything, and a lot of the phones give you a report of how much time you spend on social media and everything else, and if you compare it with the time you spend in the Bible, a lot of us would be surprised, in the bad way. We haven't really been spending as much time as we should in the Bible. And what does that mean? If we aren't spending our time in the Bible, are we being strengthened? Is our faith growing closer to the Lord? Maybe not. Maybe we have to reevaluate how we have been using our time. And it's interesting that as human beings, feelings a lot of times are what drive our lives. It's interesting that there's basically three different feelings we can have in our life. One of them is sorrow. It's interesting to look in the Bible, and we can see that happening a lot of times. When the Israelites were in the desert, Moses was guiding them, where they, oh yeah, we're going to the promised land and everything will be good. Or were they it's hard out here. We liked it when we were slaves back in Egypt. So what does sorrow make us do? Does it guide us forward? Were they excited? Okay, we're going to go through all this difficulty and go into the promised land. No, they were looking back. They were looking back and saying, it was good back there. We were slaves. We didn't have anything, but we had a place to live. We had food. It was great. And how many times it's the same way with us. God gives us good opportunities, puts us in a good place, and we're looking back and saying, that was so good back there. And does God look to our past? It's interesting to stop and think, does God, once you accept the Lord as your Savior, does He come back and say, okay, you did this, you did this, you did this? Or does you can pray and ask forgiveness, and will He bring those sins back up and say, oh, I don't know about that. I don't know if you're going to heaven because you have this on your chart here, and I don't know about that. No, the Lord forgives us and forgets. But from there on, and that's so powerful, just there, He won't condemn us for things we did before we asked Him to come and live in our hearts and save us. But then we have another feeling that's fear. What does fear do to us? When we are afraid, what does that take us to do? makes us start looking around. If our faith isn't deposited in Jesus Christ and we are not close to the Bible, when difficulties come, what will happen? Will we be fully trusting the Lord, knowing that He will be there for us? Or will we start looking for other options around? Look, I can do this to help God so His will be fulfilled. Can we help God? No, like, He's Almighty God. He is powerful. Like, just reading through Genesis, like, if you want to know how powerful God is, and or you forgot, just read up and read the first chapter of the Bible. Like, everything we know, God created, and did He have to put His working clothes on and go there and build it? No, like, He just said, like, you guys have been studying Revelations. In the end, will God have to come and do a big battle? No, He just has to speak. Imagine if we had the same power, just speaking and it happening. At home it's hard, we have kids, like everybody knows, you ask kids to do something, like, if they're up to it, they'll do it sometimes, sometimes they won't, but God just speaks and it happens. Isn't that powerful? And what does faith do? If you have your faith in Jesus Christ, where will that drive you? That will drive you forward, independent of what's happening. It will drive you forward. Why? Because you know you're serving the Almighty God. Nothing is impossible for Him. But we have to be close to Him and have our faith deposited on Jesus Christ. And it's amazing when we do that, how all the difficulties just fall to ground. Because now we are assured that we're serving God. And once we have our faith in God and it's fulfilled, it's a lot easier now to share Jesus Christ with other people. It's because we are not afraid anymore of people turning their backs on us. We're not afraid of them telling about our past. Oh, I remember when you did this and that, but you can tell them, okay, I accept that Jesus Christ is my Savior. And my past to Him is gone. He's forgiven my sins. It's from here on, like, you can have the same thing as I have. You can have a place in heaven. It's hard for us to even think and understand how it will be to go to hell. I tell the kids, it will be a place where we will be burning 24/7. Like, it's hard when we burn our finger. Imagine be burning 24/7. Like, would you want that pain even for your worst enemy? I don't think so. Like, it's quite harsh. It's amazing to see that when we start teaching Jesus to these kids down there and start remembering the power that God has. The first miracle that Jesus performed, what was it? He transformed water into wine. Like, begin out, it's quite simple. Like, the kids' mentality down there, they're like, okay, but it's a miracle. Like, I don't have power to do that. And like, did He have to do that? Who came to Him and asked Him to do it, basically? Mary. Like, she came, she knew that Jesus was powerful, like He was God, but she'd never seen nothing happen. She came and told Him, and He answers to her, like, what do I have to do? Like, I was invited just as my disciples were, but He goes and performs the miracle. And it's interesting to see when in Capernaum, when the official comes and tells Jesus, my son is sick, he's dying. It's interesting to see what did Jesus tell him? Oh, you should give him this medication, do this, do that. Does He do that? No, He just tells him, go back, your son will be well. Did this man have faith? Did he question the Lord? Are you sure? Did he question Jesus? Are you sure about this? Like, I came a long ways and like, you just tell me to go back and he'll be fine? Or did he just go back? And as he went back, his servants came and told him, your son is well. And he asked them, when did that happen? And he saw it was at the same time that Jesus told him, go back and your son will be healed. Did he have faith? I have kids and I don't know if I would be questioning the Lord, like, are you sure? Don't you have to go there and touch him at least or do something like that? But when we stop and realize that we serve Almighty God and just of Him saying it, it will happen. It changes things around. And even the blind man, Bartimaeus, he heard about Jesus. He was blind and he wanted to come back to see. But what did people tell him when Jesus was coming by? They were telling him, be quiet, like Jesus is coming by. But what did he do? He shouted higher and higher because he knew that Jesus could cure him. He knew that that was his only option, basically. It was Jesus. So where was he depositing his faith? Even though people around him told him, be quiet, like, he won't come to you. Jesus calls him out and cures him. And what does he say? So he was going out of Jericho, and the blind man Bartimaeus thought to say, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And what does he say? You have been cured because of what? Your faith. Today, if we went and asked God, like, for something, would he say the same thing? Go in peace, your faith has resolved whatever issue you brought to Christ. Would that be our reality? So that's what I believe, that we have to work day by day. It's a constant battle to have our faith put in Jesus Christ and have a direct connection through Jesus Christ to God, knowing that He's Almighty God. With all this war going on, like in Israel and everything, it's frightening, isn't it? Does it bring fear to our lives? I know that it's scary when you see all those rockets and all that's happening there. It brings fear to our lives. You guys have been studying Revelation, but we know that who's going to win in the final battle and everything's gone? Jesus. Jesus Christ is the one that's going to reign forever. And that's comforting for us. And one challenge I have for you guys is to share the gospel with somebody this week. We shared in the Bible school there the Bible verses we have. So if you have no idea we have these verses, you can take one of these, and it's a simple way for you to be able to share the gospel with somebody. Just start sharing the verse with them, or the idea of what faith is, and that we all are sinners. A lot of times people see Christians as people that are there to judge, but the first verse we have, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that puts us all in the same place. Like, we're all in the same boat, and we need Jesus to go to heaven. So that's one challenge I would like to give to you guys, is to share the gospel with one person, maybe this week or this month. But just put it as a task, because if we never stop, are we going to ever fulfill that? If we never stop, like if we ever always leave it for tomorrow, that tomorrow may never come. So that's where I would like to leave for you guys. And always remember that we shouldn't live in sorrow. We shouldn't live in fear. We should live in faith, always looking forward, looking to Christ. And as an update for our ministry, a lot of you were in the Sunday school, but we're still in Brazil. And this is our family. Carmen talked a little bit. So Rebecca's 13, Timothy's 10 years old, and Deborah's 5 years old. I'm getting the kids mixed up. And Brazil, a lot of you know where it is. Brazil's the biggest, largest country in South America, and we speak Portuguese. For the little kids, we were here Wednesday, and we told them we speak pork and cheese. That makes it a little easier to remember. It's quite different from Spanish. A lot of people think we speak Spanish, but no, it's Portuguese. And we're living down near São Paulo now, so we're about 8 hours from where we lived before. We're about an hour from the main airport in Brazil. And it's quite different because the city we lived in, some of you were there, there was about 2,500 people. Now there's over 1 million people in the city, so it's a big city, quite a different structure and whatnot. And we're serving at Haven of Hope, and we serve with kids. So back in the end of 2020, I took over as the executive director of the organization, and we opened it back up in 2021 because 2020 was a pandemic and we didn't know if we were going to survive or not. So they closed it down, and when I took over, we opened it back up. And we have a after school classes for kids. So there's a public school, a state school, that separates the kids that need have learning difficulties from second and third grade. So there's 7 to 9 year olds that come to us. The school is the one that chooses them. And they come to us kind of as the bait is to teach them how to read and write and math. But what we really want is to have them in there for that year to be able to share the gospel with them, share who Jesus is, and discipleship them with Bible verses. Because once they understand the gospel and our discipleship, now they're new believers. And what does a new believer do? He shares what he knows, and he's on fire. His heart is on fire because he wants as many people as he can to go to heaven with him. So we have a Portuguese class, math class, we have computer lessons, and we also have Bible stories with the kids, a devotion. So the kids come in the morning, we have a devotions with all of the kids, and it's neat to see where these kids have been excluded from the school, basically, where they're treated as you're just another kid, but we treat them one by their names and ask them how their day has been, what if they need any help in anything. But that changes their way of viewing us, because now we show care for them, we show love for them, and a lot of these kids do not know what that is. That changes their life. This is one group of the kids we receive. So we have 5 teachers, and usually we work with about 25 kids, and that's our limitation, is to build the structure, especially because we can't use one material with all of the kids, because each one of them has a different difficulty. So it's a one-on-one, basically. We have to go and kind of access what their need is, what their difficulty is, and start from there with them. And we always start with the Bible stories, and Brazilians like to sing. Who's ever been down there, you've seen the kids like to sing down there. So we teach them music. That will start working in their hearts. Besides that, they'll take it home and sing it at home, at school. So they'll start influencing other kids also. And we give it straight to them, like, you have to accept the Lord. And we start from Genesis, because we don't know where these kids are coming from. So if we go and give them John 3:16, they'll tell us, okay, that's your God. That God forgot me somewhere, because I have difficulties with this and that. So we have to teach them who God is. We're talking about God Almighty. He's the creator of heaven and earth. Everything we know, he's the God that we're teaching about, and how sin came into the world, and how sin will take us not to heaven, but to hell. So they're quite clear. It's interesting to see by the end of the year, when they understood the gospel, they're telling the other kids, and they're straight like, okay, you have 2 options, or you go to heaven or you go to hell. What's your decision? It's neat to see where some kids, like, they do not accept the word of God. They'll memorize the Bible verses. Whereas the Bible says, you see that their hearts are hardened. They will not accept the Lord. And the other kids are preaching to them and everything, like, it's your last chance. Like, what are you choosing? So it's interesting to see how they understood the gospel and how they see the need to take that decision. So these are the verses they use. And even during the COVID, the school shut down, we continued to open. And it's neat to see when they went back, the kids we had, they were doing better than the kids that were at school even. Because we had contact with them and accessed them one-on-one. And we have different cases, like Maria. She's a very sweet girl that comes to us, but we came to understand what she was coming from. She was born in prison because her mom was in jail. She was born in prison, lived there for 6 months. In Brazil, that's what happens. Like, if she's born there, lived 6 months there, then now her grandmother is the one that takes care of her. But her grandmother is an alcoholic, and like, she takes care of other kids. And her happiness is going to jail to visit her mom. So it's like, it's heartbreaking. How do you give hope to somebody like that? The only hope I can give them is the Bible, and that Jesus Christ loves them and cares for them, and fill her up with Bible verses and love, and teach her that Jesus loves her and Jesus cares for her. Even though the circumstances point to a different way, she can have a different life from everything that she knows, because Jesus loves her and died on the cross for her sins and rose again, is in heaven awaiting her if she accepts him as his only Savior. Like even Guilherme, we got Guilherme in and his mother signed him up. In the first week he started coming with dyed hair, lipstick, nail polish, and like, we can't say anything because that's normal nowadays. And he was going to school like that, and for us it's like you have to bite your tongue sometimes because you see it's wrong, but like you can't say anything. And we decided, okay, we prayed about it and everything, came to the conclusion, okay, we're just going to treat him as the other kids, and he's going to have to come to the Bible studies and everything. It's interesting that about 2 months into the program, one day he came with nothing on. Even the teachers were like, is it the same kid? Like, does he have a twin brother or something like that? So we went and asked him, Guilherme, what happened? And he said, what are you talking about? Like, well, before you were coming with dyed hair, lipstick, nail polish, and everything. He said, well, you taught me about Jesus. You taught me about God, Genesis, and everything, and how Satan came and brought sin into humanity. And, like, it was wrong what I was doing. It was wrong because God created man and woman. Like, I was not doing the right thing. So it's neat to see where he came to the conclusion that that was wrong. He gave his life to the Lord, and we were happy about that because just there, that's a testimony by itself. Where it ends up that his mother is a pastor's daughter, and she had gone the wrong ways when she was in her young age and had him and had her life all mixed up, and she wasn't talking with her father anymore. But he would go back home, and she was helping him memorize the Bible verses, so she was reading the Bible verses to him. And he was telling her all the Bible stories, and she started to remember the Bible stories her father told her when she was little. The Bible verses just went pounding on her heart, softening it up, and soon enough she went back to her father and repented. And now the family was restored. So it's amazing that we work with the kids. Like, we're happy if the kids understand the gospel, but the Lord has a lot more for these kids where they go back to their homes, and they preach the gospel, and the word of God never comes back void. Once it's seeded, like, it makes transformation. Even though we think that life will never change, God can change it. And even the teacher that takes care of the kids at school, she does the after school in the afternoon with the kids that have difficulties. And it's neat because one of the pastors of the church we go to, she's his mother. So her son's a pastor, but she's not a believer. And she's always, like, she doesn't accept it. But she came to us and asked us, what are you guys doing? She had this book with her. She was all proud of this. The kids made, like, a comic book of everything they learned at Haven of Hope. And all the stories were happy stories. And she said, I know the past of these kids. Like, I've had these kids since kindergarten. I know the suffering these kids are going through. And they designed these pictures, and they're happy here. And they're learning. What's happening? Like, I want to learn because I want to do the same thing with them there. Answer, we have, like, we're teaching them the Bible. And the one that's transforming them is Jesus Christ, and he's doing that inside out. I can't take a child to do change. She's been trying all different techniques, but the answer is what? The answer is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ transformed these kids the way that I would never be able, she would never be able, but it's always for the glory of God. That's what we see. Continue on the work for this transformation to happen, but for the glory of God. We also have the kids club. So the kids club we have on Saturdays for kids that come in past years to Haven of Hope and for kids in the neighborhood. So Carmen takes care of that in evangelism program where we can continue on sharing the gospel with these kids also. And she also has been working with the mothers, because the ones that see the most transformation in these kids' lives are the mothers, because they know these kids. Like, they've been with them since they were born, and they know the kids they have, and they know the transformation that happened. They know that something happened. They want to learn more about what's going on. It's neat to see when these kids learn how to read, they want to read the Bible. They dig into this Bible and they come all happy. Like, I read John, I read Mark, and we tell them, start by the New Testament. Jesus, like, he transformed, he did miracles that are just amazing. It's neat to see they'll read that and share it with their family. And I tell them, whatever I teach you guys, go to the Bible and read it and We're sure that it's in there, and I'm not teaching you wrong. And they do that. They go back and read in the Bible. And even the artwork they do, it's always related with the story. So they go back home, and now they have a flannelog where they can show, like, this is sin, this is Jesus, he died for our sins and for us to be able to go to heaven. So they're equipped to go back home and share about Christ. It's neat to see where they come to the understanding that now they gave their lives to Jesus and God that's almighty, and how they deserve respect to him. Many times as Christians, we forget about that. We forget that God, he's almighty. We once were sinners. We know Christ and we know Jesus, accepting him as our Savior, but he deserves our respect. And how some kids once started kneeling down because they came to the conclusion that they need to do that because they're praying to God Almighty and he deserves our respect. And how can you be part of the ministry in Brazil? You've heard of everything that's going on in Brazil and the kids that are being reached. And you can do that by praying, you can do that by giving, or you can do that at going. We've had groups down, and it's neat to see once you go to the country and see the environment, get to know the people better, how your concept changes, and a lot of times you grow closer to those people and a better understanding of the culture. One of the things we're doing is raising our support. It's been 4 years since we were here last, and through the pandemic, we lost some of our supporters. Some went through financial difficulties and weren't able to continue on. But every one of you probably has one of these on your seat. And on the back, there's a commitment card. So if the Lord guides you, it will be a real blessing to us and would enable us to continue on the ministry in Brazil by doing that. And for us, when we put everything on paper, a lot of times we're like, we have to raise all of this. Will we be able to raise all of this? Then we have to remember that we live by faith. So we have to look forward. And the Lord has supplied already half of what we need. And like for us, it's like, how did God do that? But it's just being faithful to him, and he'll supply our needs. And I know that God is Almighty God, and he can supply 100% of what we need. We just have to share with the people of God, with the body of Christ here on earth, and share the need and share how you guys can be part of the ministry also. We also have travel expenses, because while we're up here, we still have to keep our house down there, everything going down there. So we have airplane ticket expenses. We have the van we are using that's rented, so we have to pay that also. We have our travel health insurance, especially traveling up to the States. You have to have health insurance, because it's crazy here. If you get a cold, how much that could turn out to, or if you have to do anything in the hospital. And also all the printed material, because everything we print or everything we do, it always comes out from our finances. The mission basically only receives and repasses to us whatever they receive. So everything we have to spend on it has to come out of our pocket. And we just thank you guys for the time and being here, and we know that you guys support us, and we're very thankful for the church for supporting us all these years and enabling us to be down in Brazil. And Carmen and I tell people, we're only tools in God's hands. We would never be able to do what's happening there and transforming the lives of these kids, and we only can make ourselves available to the Lord as sharp tools. If you have a broken car and you put tools on the hood, will the car get fixed? It would be nice if it did, wouldn't it? No, you need somebody to go there, a mechanic. Can he do it by him with his own hands? No, he needs the tools. And that's what we are. You guys are too. You guys can be tools in God's hands, and in God's hands, he can do things that we could never imagine or could ever do alone. So we thank you guys very much for the time here, and